That's where I find God. Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hey, y'all, it's Michael.
This is David.
This is Keith.
And today's Sunday, the first week in August. And
about 23.
Yeah, 2023. We've had some busy times this week, and we got busy times coming up. This evening we got a prayer walk at the schools, the whole Pierce County schools. But there's no, I don't see anybody with notes, and this is from the hip kind of podcast here. So anyway, David, what you got?
Well, I guess we could just rip the scab off, let it start bleeding if that's what you want. You know, we usually give a farm update and a family update, and we don't hide, you know, we haven't hidden anything else that's going on in our lives pretty much on our podcast. So I guess it would be wrong of us to not mention losing our cousin Stan.
Right.
It's our first cousin, St. Nancy's son. So, you know.
And all of us first cousins are like brothers and sisters, so it hits a little different. We were like brothers and sisters because we worked together. Yeah. We lived together. We stayed with each other. We, you know, it was it was family.
Yeah, it was, you know, I guess in this world there may be some cousins that are closer than what we were coming up, but you'd be hard-pressed to find them, I guess, you know.
Because
we did, you know, we lived together. You actually lived with him for a while when y'all were both young men coming along.
Yeah, he taught me how to grow up fast. And I'm going to tell you, when Tracy asked me the memories that I had written down, that I guarantee you that came from Uncle Sammy, because I let him read it. I shared it with the cousins, but I let him read it. And it was just, you know, it was something on my heart that I thought that he might want to see or read. And mm-hmm. He did. He was laughing halfway through it because of the situations or the times, the stories that I was telling was things that he remembered as well. Like the go-kart, Stan won. Every one of us probably put our name in the hat to try to win that go-kart up there. I remember putting my name in the hat.
You got to remember, now, that was, at that time, there's one fast food place in Blackshear, and that was Hardee's.
Besides the Tasty Freeze.
I don't think Tasty Freeze was ever considered fast food, though. I mean, it was along the lines of fast food, but technically, I don't think, I think of Burger King, McDonald's, and Hardee's being the fast food. But Hardee's was the first to come to Blackshear, as far as that goes. So that was kind of a popular place in our little town. And when they put out, I don't know how old we were little, but they put out a picture of a go-kart in there. We all wanted that thing. I can remember that. Yeah, we all put our names in that hat probably many times. So for Stan to win it, that was pretty unique.
Yep. But sharing those stories with him, he got a kick out of it. And then he went back and, you know, I guess he got with Tracy and they wanted me to share that with the family. You know, I'm not a public speaker, but I turned it over. I said, good Lord, I really would be honored to be able to speak and not stumble over my words or get too emotional. And I never had fear,
right?
You know, I anticipated it, really, and it was just a weird feeling for me because I'd never gotten up in front of a crowd that big,
right,
and spoke. So Stan got me again. I learned another lesson.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
What you got for today, Keith?
Well, it's, you know, I have to be one that brings up Pat. When I think about the things that David's, I guess, humored me with the hogs, and Pat helped us out with some things with that. And then thinking about this podcast and him listening to it and the comments that he made about it, to hear the connections, I didn't know that he was brothers to Chuck Parrish. Mm-hmm. And Chuck was a part of this church when I was growing up. It brought it full circle. And then I thought about how, as we found out Saturday morning that we'd lost Pat and we lost Stan. And then on Monday, seeing the turnouts for the funerals, and I watched Pat's Tuesday morning on Facebook, the similarities between Stan and Pat and their impacts on the people around them. It brought a lot of hope, that a lot of times the unconventional is what really speaks the loudest message to the people around them. We tend to think we've got it figured out and what church is supposed to be. And for a pastor that is steeped in tradition and religion, that's a hard thing to see and say, hey, I agree with that. But when you really look at the lives of people that impact those around them, like Stan and Pat did, it really speaks to what God's wanting to show us. That out here on the farm, doing the things that we love to do, may be our platform to speak to people around us. Stan's platform was food.
And plants.
And plants and antiques and things. Pat's was trimming trees and raising hogs and cows and just
making you laugh, both of them.
Right. And a lot of times that's the part that we miss, that we overlook. We call it insignificant sometimes. But to me, that's even more important than the pastor getting up in front of the group, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess that's, you know, that's where God's showing me that we've all got a part to play, and we've got to encourage one another really to play that part.
Right.
To its fullest. And I think Stan and Pat both really played their part to their fullest.
Yeah.
Right up till the end.
Right.
So, you know, now I'm going to change the subject a little. I get to take Liz Ann to Statesboro Friday, which David Michael's gone through that with their kids. Both of them, their oldest, they took off to school. And for me and Elizabeth, it's a change. It's different. We're not going to have Liz Ann coming home every night, being in the house with us. We've got to put a lot of trust and faith in God to protect her, see her through. But it's another change here on the farm that's been seen I don't know how many times under the sun over the years. So it's nothing new.
It's just new to you.
It's new to me and Elizabeth.
Fear. We talked about that this morning.
Right.
We got to get out of the habit of being fearful about any. I mean, when we turn things over to God, that's what we got to embrace it. He's in control. And you dedicated Liz Ann mm-hmm. to him, and y'all have raised her up right to think for herself and do things in a godly way,
yeah,
he'll take care of her.
Right.
There's no doubt that Coy made it home. Lainey's still going.
And she's, yeah.
Yeah, she's, you know, came home and visited and was here today. So,
But I will say this, I haven't feared, but that feeling of taking them.
The not knowing.
No, it's just, it's a change.
Oh, damn.
And it's a weird, weird feeling. I know.
And I imagine that's different for boys than it is the girls.
I don't know. I guess I'll know that better next summer. But, you know, I was never afraid, really. It's just signifying they're grown up.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're gone. I mean, do they come home? Yeah, they do. Thank God they come home. But technically, she's out of the house.
Yeah.
So it is. It's a weird feeling. I'll say that, Keith.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, I'm not saying you're gonna shed a tear because you are. but Elizabeth, definitely.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, I can remember riding back from Milledgeville. I don't think me and my net said two words all the way home.
Well, no, the only thing I have, there's two events that I have to look at was, one, when I went to Statesboro, I pulled off by myself. I drove to Statesboro that day in the little Toyota Tercel 5-speed 2-door, loaded down, and Mama waved at me. That was it. I didn't know she went back in the house and had a cry, and I didn't think about that part. And then Christy and Jeff, when they left to go to Oklahoma, they left Micah here to finish school, and me and Elizabeth took him to Milledgeville, and we had to make that trip and drop him off, which that's not my child. That's my nephew, and it was a little bit easier, I think, than it would have been if it had been my child. But, you know, when you leave somebody and that unknown, not the fear, but the unknown, it makes you do a little bit of faith searching.
That's right.
You know, so, yeah, come Friday, y'all just say a little prayer for for us as we do that.
And we do have a reminder about the Bowen family reunion. I'm not going to stop reminding until after it's...
That's perfect.
Sunday, September the 17th, in Hoboken at the community center. Now, on Telegram, our cousins and the Chosen, we've got a Telegram channel started, and Glenn's on there, along with Scott and some of the others that wasn't in our messages, our text message. Glenn says he's going to be there. Not repeating what he said, but he...
Well, he
made it clear he was trying his
best. If the creek don't rise too much is what he was referring to, yeah. He will be here for it.
So we look forward to that and really hope and pray that he can.
Yeah.
The sermon this morning, I'm going to say it. Keith got started on some... He come in, he set up all of his verses on the computer. He had a page full he was fixing to go through. And we sang the song, worship, praise and worship. You know, those were songs that Elizabeth had, they'd been on her heart all week, so she asked me to play those for her. And we played them, no particular order, just how she put them, how they was coming. And the Holy Spirit was working. That page full of verses, we was ready to get them put up on the screen and everything, and then Keith comes up and he says, that song just put something on my heart. And when he started sharing, I could feel it. It was from the heart. It was from the Holy Spirit. It was time for you to say that.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the message. It was at the level it needed to be. It held the attention. And I think it opened some eyes.
Yeah. Well, and the when I typed a message leaving the church today, the other song, that I think it was the first song,
Rest on Us, Come Rest on Us.
That was just rolling over in my head how that plays into the resurrection. Power, you know, we need it to rest on us. We need it to blanket us. And, yeah, I got up and I was ready. But the trajectory completely changed.
Yeah.
It's funny how that all works, because y'all got to understand that for me, that's normal. But when I look at Michael and say that normally, that's when he looks like a deer in headlights and goes, what are you fixing to do? Where are we going? He probably saw it the way my body language was when the song was playing, that something was changing. And we have to be open to that. We have to be willing to go where he's taking us. We can't plan it out and get the results we want if we're not open to that. It's not going to happen every time. I don't expect that. But I do know that when we're willing to let him speak through us and change our plans, we tend to see something way different than we had in our expectations.
David, you got something? Well, I want to go back to a while ago when Keith was talking about Pat. He was talking about Pat being a buddy of ours. I coached with him Little League football. David did a lot of business with him with the Hogs and through the FFA and stuff. Pat was one of those that he listened to this podcast. And if y'all remember back when David was talking about that was waiting on him to cuss, I believe that was Pat. Was it Pat?
Yeah, trying to figure out how to say, you know, what I want to say about him. It's kind of hard, because that I would hate to embarrass somebody. I know that with Pat, I would never embarrass him, because
he would get you back.
No, I don't think.
I don't think you could
embarrass Pat. Pat was one of a kind. He was. I was thinking of the nicknames that he had: Pat Garrett, Pat Benatar, Dirty Red, just so many different names that whenever I think of Pat, that different names come up. Sheriff was he?
I remember it at on the hunting club. Yeah, he was the sheriff.
Right. I don't know, man. I know that he rubbed some folks wrong, because I'm not saying he didn't have a filter. He did. He was very smart, but he could let you know what he thought pretty easy. He was comfortable in his own skin. He was not a trend follower. He did what he thought. And, you know, yeah, I've known him for a long, long time. When we started hunting, I guess, is when I really got to know Pat. And then, you know, trading hogs back and forth for years. He helped us all the way back when Laura Lee showing pigs in high school. We got her pigs from Pat. And so when my kids were showing, we all went back and forth, and we'd buy one together or trade, you know, feed for a pig, or just always trading something. But with Pat, it was he had lost his mother this year, and one day we were talking, I said, and this was after we found out that he listened to our podcast, which kind of blew me away when he told me that. After he lost his mother, I told him, Pat, I'm sorry about your mama. And he made some, I mean, he was, you know, receptive to that and everything, but he made some comments that were really troubling to me. He said, but I know where my mama's at. And he said, I know I won't ever make it there. And that shook me, because you think back to when Jesus was on the cross, and there's two other guys with him. One was making fun of him, saying, hey, you think you're the king of the Jews? You know, you all powerful, why don't you send some angels down here and get us out of this? Well, the other one said, hey, watch your mouth. What me and you did, we got to pay for it. He didn't do anything wrong. I can hear Pat Bennett in that and what he said. And it upset me because he's my buddy. And I want my buddies to go to heaven. And I told Pat just that. And I said, Pat, Jesus died for you. He died for your mama. He died for all of us. But Pat, Jesus died for you. And you can go to heaven. And, you know, we never held hands around the hog pen and prayed. I wish our relationship was that away, but it wasn't. But that Friday, I was driving back from Dublin. I had a meeting at lunch in Dublin, Georgia, and I was driving back. And Pat's name come up on my phone, and everybody's always talking. You can call David, but he's not going to answer. And I couldn't answer it right away because I was on the phone with work. But something told me, call him. So I called him right back. And he always got the same, what's up, cuz? That was Pat. That's what he said.
Yeah.
What's up, cuz? And we talked about football. He asked me about Jackson, how Jackson was doing. We talked about pigs. We talked about a lot of things. But nothing important, right? There was no reason. He didn't call me to answer a question for him or anything like that. It was just, what's up, cuz? Okay? And then 3 hours later, I get the text from Michael that he had passed. It shook me pretty hard. And I've thought about it. And I don't believe in coincidence.
No.
I don't. I think Pat made his peace before he left this earth. And God knows it would have bothered me had Pat not called me and we just talked. That's the third time that's happened in my life where somebody's called me for no reason. We've talked. And then mere hours later, they're gone. And that's it's no coincidence, like I just said, that, you know. It's not like I have this long line of friends that call me all the time. I guess I should have more. Maybe if I answered the phone more often, they would call me more. But I don't know. I believe Pat's up there. And I know Pat's heart. Pat did so much for other people. He was never going to be the one to take credit for it. If he ever helped somebody, he did it without anybody ever knowing. There might have been one or two other people that had a hand in it. But Pat loved people. He did.
And I think that speaks to the fact that there's a lot of arrogance in the church. And when somebody like that comes along with a heart that's that big, they don't feel worthy.
I think some of them think that they were so bad for so long.
Right.
Or you know, and bad by what?
What standard? Yeah.
You know.
But that's where I think God's wanting to show us that, hey.
If you compare me to my grandma, I'm bad, okay? Yeah. And that's the thing. We're not.
And you ain't got nothing on me.
But what I'm saying is, if you want to paint yourself that way, or you want to label yourself that way, as bad as you are, Jesus died for you.
That's it. And that's where it's our duty to share that with people. Hey, I get it. I get how bad you are. But as bad as you are, there's still a God out there that loves you even more. And don't compare yourself to this, these arrogant people that are putting on a show.
The religion.
Right. To, 'cause we don't all... I appreciate more somebody that I don't have any question about their character, about what they think about me, than somebody that's being unreal to my face and different behind my back. I think it was Chuck that said it in the message. Said, man, Pat was one that would put you down to your face and be raising you up behind your back.
Right.
You know? And that's a message in itself that we all need to learn, that if we could be a little more like that, be lighthearted around each other, but lifting each other up.
And we need somebody to humble us every now and then.
Absolutely.
You know, we need somebody to point out our faults, because nobody's perfect. Nobody.
Yeah.
One of the things I found interesting, though, they said in the last several months, Pat was in Sunday school every Sunday morning, and they said that he had some of the best questions, and I could see that in Pat, right?
Absolutely.
Waking other people up, too.
And
answering their question.
Pat was a direct guy.
Yeah.
And, absolutely.
And so, you know, that's what I really think he made his peace, and I hope I get to see
him. He was here for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just, it's really preached a message to me all week, mm-hmm. thinking about that.
And seeing the people that showed up for him and for Stan, that was, you know, we joked about it, but, it, you know, the Bennett family, the Strickland family, the Bowen family,
and the Dixon family.
I don't
know. All of us was in town at the same time.
Pretty much everybody in Pierce County was
represented
in town. It was quite a turnout for both.
If you don't have that last name, you're kin to one of them.
Yes.
That's
I mean, really. So.
Yeah.
Or you just moved into the county.
That's right.
Yeah, you ain't been here long enough.
Yeah. But, no, we were standing there at watching people come in to Stan's viewing, to visit with the family, and Davis said, "What are they thinking, having it here at the funeral home?
Right,
the chapel is not big enough for the Bowen family. How's it going to be big enough for the Bowens and the Dixons
and the friends?" Stan had a lot of folks,
right?
That, you know.
Well, and I looked at somebody and I said, they weren't kin, and I looked at them and I said, "You probably don't realize it, but there's only two families right here right now." I said, "'Cause there's probably been 200 or more people come through that were friends,
yeah.
that left."
Yeah.
I said, "But this right here is just two families, the Bowens and the Dixons."
Yeah.
And I said, "I know a bunch of Bowens and Dixons that's done walked out."
Right.
You know, but it's home.
Yep.
You know, and that's what I see, is that both of these losses, there's so much good that they spoke into other people.
Yeah.
Over the years. And it gives you hope to know, you know, hey, maybe we're doing something right, because we're impacting people. And that's what I want to say about Pat and Stan. They both impacted people, and they love doing it.
They didn't hold their tongue, and more people need to get used to doing that.
Yeah.
What's the say? You know, the heck with your feelings.
Right.
Say what it is you're supposed to say.
Well,
right or wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, speak truth. But
and that's one thing Pat said. That was one of the comments he made about us when he said we were crazy.
We were fools.
Yes, with a few other adjectives.
Yeah.
We were fools. But the end of that conversation, he said, "Y'all just telling the truth."
Yeah, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
And he didn't tell us to stop doing it. He told us keep doing it.
And he acted like he wasn't going to listen anymore, but he did. And I'll say this, there was some podcast where he was on my heart. And you go back and listen, I was talking
to him
as hard as I could. Yeah. I don't know. I'm losing coaches though. That's one thing. You know, Grandpa was my coach. Grandpa was taught me more about farming than, you know, any university could ever teach about agriculture. I just wish I remembered all of it and paid more attention. And then Uncle Terry was probably next. Man by the name of Barry Smith was, he hired me with the state, and another coach in ag. You know, they all taught me in life as well, but in the area of farming. And Pat was one of those guys that we swapped it back and forth, you know.
Yeah.
He asked me a lot of questions. I helped him with watermelons and stuff like that.
Right.
And he helped me with pigs. I'm losing that. I'm losing those guys, you know, that I can lean on. Well,
you are, but there's more. And you're becoming that guy.
Yeah. Well, you're putting up with me.
I don't like becoming that guy. Well,
you said it this morning. You're going to challenge anything we tell you.
But David puts up with me. He ain't told me, go on, leave me alone. Yet. Not yet.
Not to your face.
Okay. But I mean, that's
okay.
That's what.
Even Grandpa lost his cool working pigs, though. Okay. All
right. Hey, Grandpa lost his cool working tobacco. If it had to do with machinery, I think the machinery won out with Grandpa. He would. That would torque his screws. But I think the animals and the machinery and farming were his Achilles heel.
I think he liked the animals better. The animals wouldn't talk back like we did. But
our challenges can be for good. That's one of the things that I think comes out of all this. Don't give up just because you're challenged, for sure.
And don't hold your tongue.
No.
Say what's on your
mind. Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't, you're holding that other person from growing.
Right.
Just like the text that I shared with you.
Yeah.
For a couple of weeks, I'd held that in because I wasn't sure that was what I was supposed to say, and then did want to say it. It didn't come out or for reasons. But, you know, I guess that's why I was led put it on to top it out.
Yeah.
So it would sink in. I wouldn't forget something.
Yeah. So. And that's, you know, in the short amount of time that I knew Pat, there was a big impact made on me. And I guess it's because I look up to David and I said, well, if he's good enough for David to look up to, you know.
Yeah.
And those mornings we'd go up to the Oak Plaza.
Yeah, when we first started doing it. Well, what are y'all doing here?
Well, then it got to where, okay, he quit sitting in his normal seat and was coming out there where we were.
Yeah.
He
got up from the liar's table.
Yes, we never graced that table. So, but that's what, you know, we're seeing how we're in places that a lot of times we've never thought. How is this working in favor of us in the kingdom, right. You know? And in reality, that's exactly where God wants us to be.
Yeah. David, you ever remember?
Paco Balaco.
Yeah.
Never forgetting.
Give us a good story.
Paco, I almost cussed. See, Pat, you almost heard it. As Grandpa would say, that horse was barn soured.
Yeah, he was.
is lead him. If he was here at the farm, you could lead him wherever you wanted to go on the face of the earth and drop the reins, and that joker come right to the barn as hard as he could.
Wide open.
You could not get him to walk straight away from the barn. It's not like we were great horsemen. No. You know,
yeah. We didn't know a whole lot.
He probably knew way more about it than what we did. But, yeah, you could not get him to walk away from the barn. But when you turned him back towards the barn, you better hold on.
Ears ago, straight up.
He was coming.
And we was going.
And he was an apple.
And that's you holding the reins back on. It didn't matter how hard you held him. Mm-mm. He was running through him.
He was crazy.
But Stan could ride him.
I remember Stan riding him at his house. You know, yeah. He had him out the side of Blackshear for a while before they moved him to the farm.
We call it the swimming pool house. That's how I remember it.
Oh yeah, and the ponds, man. We didn't know how lucky we were having them bass ponds behind those houses.
That's
you know
right. Now you can't get into them.
Now we don't have permission. Terrible.
Actually, no.
That was a big place to us when we were little. Something.
It's funny how size changes. Things that seemed huge when we were little, you walk into it now and it's not that big. Perceptions, how they change.
It was huge compared to what I was living in at
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
Us too.
You go, yeah. That was a mansion compared.
Right.
But what I meant by big was it just meant a lot to us to be able to go to Aunt Nancy's and Uncle Sam. Be around their family. Always a big time.
What I remember is both houses was the wood-burning stoves. They always had a fire in the winter.
A fireplace?
Yeah.
There was a fireplace.
I couldn't tell you that.
I remember the wood-burning stove on Tree Road.
I remember the one at Grandma and Grandpa's, but great-grandma. I remember sitting around that.
But it's, you know, and it's those things that we remember back on that build us up. A lot of times.
And the good times that we had.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess my moral of the story for today would be, you never know when that last conversation is going to be with anybody.
Mm-mm.
And it's important to let them know that you love them every chance you get.
Yeah.
Even your friends.
Yeah.
Your buddies.
Especially. You know, and I think that, like what David said, you know, that God allowed him to have that last phone call. Why? Because
yeah.
Because God wants to encourage us to keep doing what we're doing. And it's important to him to show us that he's still in control, even when we don't think about it. And something like that gets your attention. I declare blue, you know. Phone calls and conversations for no reason, seemingly no reason.
Right.
Hindsight's 20/20, but yeah, that's important. Anything else?
I'm good.
It's been good to be back together.
Well, yeah, and I'm grateful that you are back to take over the soundboard. I didn't have to touch. Well, I did. Trying to teach you.
Yeah.
A trick.
Well, and it's good to be back. This summer's been busy for us with Lizanne going off to school, and for whatever reason, the conferences Liz had to go to were all on the West Coast. And then we had Mama's, our vacation to Alabama with my family and Mama crushing her hip, that we were on, so... I think now we're home for a few weeks, hopefully months, without travels like we were doing. But Mama's doing good. Really, the only pain she's had's been in the incision. The prosthetic hip is carrying her. She drove to church this morning by herself.
Yeah. Good to see her.
And she said she said I wasn't even fearful. I said, that's what I was trying to get you to see.
Yeah.
But doing good. And it's good to be back here in the seat. you kind of forget what you're missing till you're missing it.
That's right.
And then you get to experience it and you understand why you're missing it. So we've enjoyed being back today, record the podcast.
Good deal. All right, don't forget about the family reunion coming.
Yep, don't forget we love you.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Wrap.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time together that we can come in, we can share our hearts, our feelings, and hopefully your love to those that are listening to us. Just pray that you would grace us with protection, health, healing, safety as we go about this week and till we are back again doing another podcast. In your son, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.